we think about edge computing. It's very much, you know, how do you have many of those capabilities of cloud, but push closer to the edge? And that really is a key focus for us as we approach edge, IoT, and many of the capabilities that we've been building for a long time in the hybrid cloud really come back to be, I'll say, in vogue now in a powerful way.
Do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 135. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing glorious.
Oh, yeah? You feeling better? Is your family healthy now? I know the last time I spoke to you, you had some sickness in the house.
Yeah, no, everybody's clean. We've, you know, got PCRs back, figured out what it was, and I just, you know, protected myself with enough Lysol, so we should be good.
All right, so the hormone helped, the Lysol helped, everyone's out of quarantine.
Yep. Now the next question is, how do we get more jamón shipped over from Spain? And at what point does the Spanish agriculture industry need to subsidize this podcast? So
I like it. Well, it wasn't jamón, but it did come from Barcelona. And that is a few of the conversations that we have for this week. So we were at VMworld, as you all know, a couple of weeks back, and we had some good conversations. And one of the things that stuck out to me in the Solutions Exchange were a lot of different booths, vendors out there, but also some VMware projects that were going on all around edge computing. More specifically, nano edge was sort of a thing that I thought seemed to be pretty hot. John, what do you think?
It's the time, man. This isn't just, you know, the year of the all flash virtual Linux desktop. This is the real deal.
Oh yeah. And so let's just set the stage. I know when people hear the word edge, maybe many things come to mind. And so I wanted to share a clip that I heard Pat Gilsinger talking about edge computing. It was on Network World with Eric Noren. Here's the clip.
We've seen this pendulum of centralization and decentralization swing back and forth. Mainframe, oh, that was centralization. Client server, oh, that was decentralization. And cloud has been a force of centralization. And we think edge, hybrid, IoT are forces of decentralization. And for us, as we think about edge computing, it's very much, you know, how do you have many of those capabilities of cloud, but push closer to the edge? And why would they need to be closer to the edge? Some of that might be application-based. Mm-hmm. Hey, my factory control is going to be in the factory. You know, it's the control systems on a barge, on an oil rig. They're going to be near the edge. The planes at 35,000 feet, I got to be collecting all sorts of telemetry and can't be downloading it. Right? Some of it might be latency-based. My self-driving car, I'm not going to wait, you know, an extra 30 milliseconds to get to the cloud and not to decide if that's a bicycle
or not. Can't have a
not.
Round trip to Siri for...
Yeah, right. Yeah. So all of those kinds of things are going to cause what we would say, you know, are really this hybrid or edge-based computing where intelligence has to be pushed further out. And clearly, as bandwidths get to be higher, as you get closer to the edge and you start looking for, you know, video, et cetera, we can't send every picture of the cat upstream, you know, only the picture when it was the burglar picking up the cat, right?
Right.
And how do you have more of that intelligence, you know, pushed to the edge? And so we think in this sense, you know, this view that, hey, we can be both cloud as well as we can enable a secure managed computing environment, local clouds, you know, on-premise environments or distributed environments closer to the edge. And that really is a key focus for us as we approach edge, IoT, and many of the capabilities that we've been building for a long time in the hybrid cloud really come back to be, I'll say, in vogue now in a powerful way.
There you have it, man. Edge computing is in vogue. John, it always reminds me of a conversation you and I had around, you know, so many use cases for this edge computing. But we were at Topgolf in Vegas, and you shared the story that this is yet another example of, you know, they're processing that local statistical, the analytics of the golf swings. And that's just yet another example of edge computing, right?
Yeah, no, that is. And that's oddly, the reason I called that one out is as we were sitting there, you know, hitting balls pretty badly, was that's actually powered by VMware vSAN. But it's, you know, these solutions you use in your data center are definitely making their way out to the edge for that processing. I also love
Pat talking about the camera tracking the cats, because it continued my theory that way too much bandwidth on the internet is consumed by cat photos. Yeah. And he talked about someone stealing the cat, which I guess is a cat burglar. So, you know.
Oh, but, snap. I didn't even put that together. Look at you.
I'm thinking, I'm breaking down these comments on a whole nother level today. But the area is, I mean, you look at, I'm just now installing my third, and I'll be installing my fourth camera outside my house. At a certain point, hairpinning, you know, 4K images, and you've got multiple security feeds through the upstream on my questionable cable modem, it's going to catch fire eventually. So you got to think about edge processing edge. It was a good introduction.
Nice. And so a continuation of that conversation, they went on to discuss vSAN Edge. And here's what Pat had to say.
You know, and it really ends up being really pretty simple. I need more intelligence to the edge, but I don't want to necessarily have to go put management personnel out on the edge.
Right.
I want everything to be remotely managed, automated, you know, telemetry. I want you to tell me when I'm getting full. I want you to give me metrics associated with performance. I want down the wire management. I want software upgrades, patching, et cetera, to be automated. And as part of the overall Pulse strategy, right, it really is give that consistent management, security, and networking environment. And the IoT with vSAN is just another aspect of that in the overall portfolio of strategies. And every component needs to be able to be remotely managed, automated, life-cycled, be able to really say, you know, put the data at the right place. You know, make sure the applications have the latency and the characteristics, and all of it is secured and managed.
Yeah, and then the last thing he had to say was,
me and virtually speaking, we're pretty important together.
Wow. Were you using cloud AI? Because I did see some stuff to help clone people's voices and put words in their mouth.
No, he did say that, but it wasn't on the Eric Knorr interview. That was actually when we talked with him. But yeah, the magic of editing made it sound like it was on the same clip.
Okay.
Yeah, no. So anyway, yeah, that I figured that might be a good setup for the two conversations that we did have at VMworld Barcelona. The first of which was with Simon Richardson. He's working on a project, a NanoEdge project at VMware. And here's what he had to say.
All right, now we're talking to Simon Richardson from VMware, who's been focusing on a couple of things here at VMware, but one of those is something that we like to call Nano Edge. So Simon, tell us a little bit about that.
About Nano Edge?
Yes, sir.
Or myself?
Both.
So I'm principal pre-sales SE from the UK. And one of the projects I've been working on is the Nano Edge project. So essentially, it's how small can we get an SDDC that's good enough to run 25 virtual machines that runs vSAN and vSphere. And that was the exam question we were given by customers. How small could we make it and make it good enough for them to be able to run that amount of VMs?
IoT is this term you may love or hate, but the idea of this edge computing, this does sound exciting. There's all these small possibilities. Is this being driven by existing use cases or net new applications that people are trying to make a cost break on?
So I think it's both. So what we're finding is customers know they need to do more work at the edge, and they're not quite sure what that is, but they need a platform that they can run something on. So they already made investments. They might be running a single hypervisor in, say, a retail store. They know that things like machine learning's come in. You know, to look at collect data from CCTV cameras, IoT devices, things like that. So
like, let's dig into would that use case be for that edge machine learning? Is that video watching the lines?
It could well be. So one of the huge use cases in retail is preventing fraud. So there's a massive amount of money to be saved in doing that. So if they can take some of the learning from the camera, do that processing locally, as opposed to trying to push it up to the cloud, doing that work locally saves them a significant amount of money on egress and ingress traffic, from the cloud. Also helps them program some of the models internally as well in the actual edge.
Okay, so detect that someone's trying to swap something out or someone's throwing it into their bag and flag that.
Yeah, change the barcode on a cereal box, which is an iPod. Like, so the computer vision will look at it, see that it's the wrong size.
This is clearly an iPad, not Rice Krispie Treats.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can imagine it's hundreds of millions of pounds. So they're now looking at, well, if we can start small. So they know they don't necessarily need a half rack of kit straight away. But if we can start with something small that's resilient, that's in brackets good enough, then that enables them to start to prove that use case.
Yeah, I would imagine that there are a lot of companies that have many, many, many stores. Mm-hmm. And so looking for the smallest footprint at the cheapest price would be probably a driving factor into configuring these to be so small and yet affordable.
Indeed.
$300, spending $300 more on a host isn't that big of a deal when you're normally spending thousands on these hosts. But when you start talking about, yes, I have 100,000 sites that I need this at, $300 starts to add up.
And it does, and that was part of the problem, because when we were talking to customers, they'd say, what would you put in a store? And it would be 3 rack and rail servers, maybe 4, half-height rack, PDU, top and rack switches. That's $100,000, $150,000.
And professional service engagement.
Indeed, and if I'm a...
Well, and the shipping and weight, because if it's a remote site, like, okay, I need to get there by helicopter, I can't put a box that's over 55 pounds in the helicopter, so now I got to use a ship or a mule team.
So if you can have something that's lighter, typically that means it generates less heat, it needs less power to run it. It can then become to such a size that you can actually man lug it. So it's almost something you could throw in a rucksack and take. So there's military use cases and things like that. So we had to prove the point of how small could we make that, but make it supported. And that was a key thing, is what pieces of hardware, what configuration do we need that shrinks it to such a size that it's viable for these customers, but it's properly supported.
So this sounds like a good concept. I'm just curious where we are, like when do people get their hands on such a device?
Okay, so the original idea we had was to try and provide some sort of SKUed item. So pieces of hardware, software as a bundle. That just didn't work because everybody's use case seemed to be slightly different. I need filters on it. I need it to withstand a certain amount of heat.
T-shirt sizes don't work when someone doesn't want to add that one thing that's...
Indeed.
That one heat sink that adds $50 and someone else doesn't need it.
Correct. So what we actually came up with, the idea of certifying certain pieces of hardware, having a configuration design, and then the right types of licensing. So you can also think of it as 3 points. So the first part that we've worked with, Supermicro. So we just took some of their servers, their E300, single socket, 128 gig of RAM.
Is that a Xeon E or D?
It's a D, actually. So the big thing for us was Xeon D, NVMe, which kind of game changers. Low power CPU, NVMe, obviously, it's much smaller, but
cuts,
also...
Cuts the cost and the overhead of the controller
out. Yeah, you don't need the controller.
No space, no weight, no
mouse. Yeah, so it's genius, really. It's kind of like, that's exactly what we need to be able to shrink these things down. So what we've done, we've published a blog post and a white paper which describes a bill of materials to build, in brackets, a nano edge supported configuration. Now, what's going to happen is customers are going to go, well, actually, I don't want to necessarily go with this size Supermicro server. I'm interested in HP Edge Line, or I'm interested in this Dell VEP or whatever it might be. So the idea is that people would bring pieces of hardware to us and we would go, right, let's see if we can get that certified for you. So for example, Lenovo have got an SE350, which is quite an interesting form factor edge server that's just been vSAN certified. So we're hoping that we could do a blog post with those guys to go, look, here's another option for you, depending on you need wireless connections out the back, or you need a bit more processing, or you need a bit less.
Well, so or maybe the carriers need an open radio network.
Indeed. And that actually does support that. So that's
so
when someone says, what can I do that's small, that's resilient, that runs a few VMs, we've got an answer. It's an answer, not the answer. So we can then augment it with other different pieces of hardware. Maybe they want 3 nodes. Because at the moment we went with this, and no one really likes me describing this as a 2.5 node. So it's 2 full nodes with a 10 gigi connection between the two. So I don't need a 10 gigi switch.
Yeah.
And then the third node I describe as a half node, even though it's just half of the cost because it runs a vSAN witness. Now, you may as well go 3 nodes if you've got the money. But
then you got to add a switch. And the challenge with those small switches is they're generally very weak ASICs and buffers.
Yeah.
The direct connect is better performant in a lot of ways because you're not getting
and
that.
And it's way simpler as well because you're just throwing a foot-long cable in there.
The other thing is I'm curious, what What is VMware looking at to do on the software side to accomplish this? Like, what are some of the customizations? I know, like, the ARM team has obviously done a lot of work. You see the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, not supported. But just to get the memory footprint down to where we can actually run vSAN and FT on a NIC card. But so you got shrinking there, but maybe like device uses, I'm thinking like Micron, where they were doing, again, disclaimer, not supported, chopping an NVMe device into multiple devices using NVMe namespaces. There's a lot of different.
So there is, and that's hopefully some of the pressure we can bring to bear. So we've been having conversations internally on how do you shrink vSphere. So vSphere is an amazing hypervisor, and it does a whole bunch of things. But there's some services we probably don't need.
Oh, yeah.
There's a potential to shrink the footprint. Clearly, we've shown we can run it on a Raspberry Pi. So
sure.
It doesn't need that much resource to do that. So we've been having conversations about how we potentially bring down some of the services that are needed in ESX. Things like namespace support in NVMe makes absolute sense to me, but I understand why we don't support that yet in the enterprise. Because of controller failure and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, fault domain, you're putting a lot of eggs in a basket.
But in an edge use case, I'm doing like 100 IOPS, and my customer already bought into the fact that, you know what, something might go down, but I'm paying
These nodes aren't necessarily even running ECC anymore. So we're not putting that much faith in the reliability of a single node.
And actually, that's another good point, is things like running non-ECC RAM. Do we need error correction? Those kind of things. So we are definitely looking towards building a market so that we've got some more leverage internally to go, look, these are the things we need to happen to enable us to shrink them even more.
So the message is, if you're looking for use cases that are smaller than the existing host and you've got these hyperscale lots of sites, remote use cases, don't be disheartened looking at the VCG and saying, oh, I can't find some hardware that works. Quietly engage with your SE and look through this pathway.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so we have a server, the Supermicro E200, which we got certified, although it's not vSAN certified. I think, as far as I know, it's the smallest vSphere server that's available today by footprint. It's the size of a hardback.
As long as you're using NVMe, there's not really a lot on the vSAN side that's going to care, because generally our concern is the SAS expanders or the controllers, generally where the problem was.
Yeah, so if you were listening to this and you wanted to know how to build a tiny vSAN node, I would go Intel Xeon D, two NVMe devices, and 10 giggy out the back. And we're pretty golden with that, really.
When I saw that Andreas was doing some work with you guys on some performance benchmarks, once you squeeze things out, we're able to get some decent numbers there. So
yeah, we did. Well, some 40,000 IOPS. I can't remember exactly the size of what we read and write cache and that kind of thing.
But that's
way more than we need at the edge. So it's kind of showing what's possible there.
Well, it's no secret there's a lot of focus on the edge, so this seems to be a really good area. I'm glad that you shared some time with us.
Absolutely.
We're going to get the links to your blog so we can give more information on this. But Simon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's really good to see that, you know, VMware is going after these use cases and not just, you know, the boring traditional, you know, big data center stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty exciting. And not only VMware, as we saw on the Solutions Exchange, there were several other companies out there that are looking at this same use case. One of those is a device called Hivecell by Ricker Lehman Robotics. And so we had a chance to talk to the founder, actually, and here's what he had to say.
Okay, so we're looking at these yellow boxes, and these things look beautiful. Like, it's the build quality is that. Well, let's talk about what's in these. So what was the process?
Sure. We decided that software had gone through a revolution that hardware had not. And we knew that hardware had to make that revolution. And so we started saying, what is it we need at the edge? And what we needed at the edge was compute power, but at low power, in order to be able to put them anywhere and have them so simple to operate, it's like delivering a pizza.
I mean, my daughter's 4 months old, but I think she could stack these. Like, what is exactly going on with those connectors between them?
So those are Baranovsky connectors. And we designed those in order to make the passing of power and Ethernet simple. And so you have a set of Ethernet Baranovskis and you have a set of power Baranovskis. And in the power Baranovskis, we have all of our security in there so you can't electrocute yourself.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. So yeah, before I let the four-month-old play with these, I better make sure that's good.
My lead design architect proved that it worked by actually licking the connector for me, which I told him never to do again.
We have a running
analyst for that.
We have a running joke that people love seeing and touching hardware at conferences, and I'm pretty sure I saw a guy lick a DIMM off one of the VxRail nodes. So, no, that's good to hear. So, from the connectivity between these, I mean, previously we'd talk about rack and stack servers was like a slogan, but literally you didn't stack them on top of it. These are actually stacking through that. So
yes, So if you need more compute, if you need more memory, you need more whatever, you stack it on there, and it's a linear distribution across. So you're actually just adding more of everything to it. So
that connectivity, that's 1 gig Ethernet, 10 gig. What is that? The connection speeds?
On the ARM processor, that's a 1 gig Ethernet. But on the x86 model, we were working with VMware. We needed something that could support vSAN. And in order to do that, I needed to beef it up. So that's actually got a 10 gig connection on it. And we're looking to put 25 and even 40 gig on there. And so in order to support that high availability, fault tolerant, and the constant backup that they're doing within the system. So
is this some type of like ring networking or using FTDI or something? How is that?
Right now, on the ARM version, it's a point-to-point network, but on the x86 version, it's actually a switch.
Oh, wow, like a virtual distributed stacking switch embedded in it. This is just, I feel like hardware got kind of boring for a while there, and it's getting really exciting right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was. This is our first opportunity Jeff and I have to do a hardware company, and that's been my whole background, and so when he offered to... I'll run software teams for him. When he said I could build hardware, I was like a kid in a candy store. It's time to go.
Okay, so this is cool. I just watched someone detach these, and the lights stayed on.
Yes. Yeah, we have battery backup in all of the units. That was one of the things we knew we needed at the edge was they needed a built-in UPS system, so each one of them has that. And they also have, it's an optional Wi-Fi connection. Some cases don't want it or don't need it, but when you pick them up out of the box, they're going to Wi-Fi connect back to the stack, so you never lose the process that you got running.
My only question, John, is can we get some free samples?
Wow. So on the, this may be kind of a low-level question, on that UPS, is that actually doing like a double conversion, or is that just for power resiliency? Is it scrubbing or not?
Oh, no, it's just for power resiliency.
Yeah, the scrubber things are always pretty heavy and triple the cost, but I was just curious. So what are some of the verticals you're looking to target with this? What are the application use cases and things like that? What is dragging you to market?
Yeah, so the things that we found, when we first came out with it, we were thinking it's going to go on a developer's desk and we would build from there, but we were inundated with use cases. We've got petroleum industry where they're gathering so much data in such a short period of time, they got to pre-process it. We're doing corporations that have thousands and thousands of locations that are distributed and they need to manage them all from one location and be able to make them simple so they just ship them out there, turn them on, and they're good to go.
Well, yeah, your hospitals, your retail, your gas stations, your oil rigs. I mean, the amount of times I've seen someone yelling over a satellite phone trying to get some, you know, roughneck to plug the cable in the right way and stop blowing up. This is some cool stuff.
Yeah, we said they're already used to their cloud service, right? We want to make living at the edge as easy to be as it is to be on the cloud. So we're trying to think all those steps through and make sure that there really is little for you to do other than hit the button and turn it on.
Well, thank you for your time. This is amazing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. John, I'm glad you didn't actually try to lick that device.
Well, you weren't paying attention the whole time, Pete.
Those are super cool, man. I know that we can't do vSAN background operations traffic through wireless, but I think there's a future in using those devices for vSAN, and that would be pretty sweet.
So you say wireless, but I was just having conversations with someone about a stretch cluster on a microwave link, and this is something we're going to get to where the new gigabit and multi-meter wave connections, I think we could get wireless storage, you know, maybe even wireless FCOTR in the next 5 years.
We'll see, man. Hopefully we'll still be podcasting by then, and then we can talk all about it. All right, John, that's going to complete our Nano Edge discussion from VMworld. Anything else before we take off?
Let's land this plane.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Simon Richardson and the folks from Hivecell. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.